Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. The Metropolitan Museum of Art, as you may know, is celebrating its 150th anniversary this year, and it had a lot of big events planned. Of course, some things have to change, and it'll be interesting to see what the museum will do, because the Met is known for some extraordinary events. For example, back in the summer of 2018, back in the summer of 2018, the Met commissioned a special live event with the idea of bringing the ethos and splendor of Versailles to life through food, specifically desserts. It's a meta treatment, given the saying attributed to Marie Antoinette about letting, oh, those peasants eat cake. She never really said that, by the way, but she did live large. The Met brought in famed chef Yotam Ottolenghi to assemble an all-star team of culinary artists, including Dominique Ancel and Janice Wong, to help bring the vision to life. Yotam Ottolenghi also tapped a few upstarts to keep things interesting. The pastry chefs created a feast of Versailles, complete with cocktail whirlpools, architectural mousse cakes, chocolate trees, swan pastries, and a surreal edible garden. Between Ottolenghi's guidance and interviews with a few experts, we also get an insight into life at Versailles, from the excess of the French court to the execution of Marie Antoinette, along with the evolution of food and patisserie at this time. It's all captured in a new documentary called Ottolenghi and the Cakes of Versailles, which was scheduled to premiere at the 2020 Tribeca Film Festival. It will be released in selected theaters and on demand and digitally this Friday. Laura Gabbert directed the film, and she is with us. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, so people know Yotam Ottolenghi. He's been on the show. He's written several cookbooks. He's won many awards, James Beard Awards. But you get a sense from him that this live event at the Met was a big challenge, maybe even a little daunting. How so?
Well, for many reasons. I mean, for one, I think there was a very condensed time frame to sort of pull off this event. The other thing that's really remarkable about Yotam is that, you know, he's definitely very intellectual and very curious, but he didn't know that much about the time of Versailles and the history of patisserie. And it was really fun just to see him dive into that research and learn as much as he possibly could. And that really helped him sort of choose and select the chefs, the five pastry chefs he wanted to represent, you know, the event. And you know, he also did this deep dive into just the history of patisserie and food at that time with food historian Deborah Crone, who's featured in the film.
You know, we hear him narrate most of the film, but it's not really about him. So as a director, how did you want to incorporate him and his own life and career without making him the focus? What was that challenge like for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good question, I think. It was a structural question, a structural challenge, I think, in the film. I was so curious myself about Yotam. I really wanted to follow his story and how he kind of evolved as a person and a thinker and a chef and a cookbook author. But that, again, that wasn't the focus of what the film was about. So what we really decided to do is just follow him in a very sort of verite way as he's learning all these things about Versailles and as he's researching the chefs he ends up choosing. And we just did that in sort of, you know, very natural kind of interviews and verite scenes between him and the food historian and him and the curator of the event, or I'm sorry, the exhibition at the Met, which is called Visitors to Versailles. And then at certain points during the film, and this, you feel like, okay, now I'm ready to dip back into Yotam and who is he and how did he get to this point? But that was kind of a thing that you do, I think, in the editing room where you sort of earn the right to do that as soon as you set up the event and set up the chefs and kind of get intrigued by Yotam because he has such a curious kind of, you know, wonderful presence on screen. I think you then kind of earn the right to like dip back and do a little bio of Yotam, which is kind of how we did it in the film.
My guest is Laura Gabbert. The name of the film is Ottolenghi, The Case and the Cakes of Versailles. How did he approach selecting this team of chefs? What was he looking for?
You know, I think that mostly I think he was following his gut largely. I think he wanted to find you know, definitely a diverse group of chefs. I mean, the show is called Visitors to Versailles. That's the exhibition that was at the Met in June of 2018. And the show itself was about how international the court of Versailles was, that they welcome people from all over the world. And so he really wanted his five pastry chefs to represent that, different parts of the world. But also, I think, just in terms of their craft, that they focused on very different things. You know, we have everyone from, you know, Guy Oliveira, who is was really best known for, you know, being a pastry chef, the head pastry chef at Danielle in New York, to someone, you know, like Dinara Casco, who is basically doesn't have a restaurant, doesn't have a shop. She's basically known for her work in Ukraine by just posting things on social media. And she's gained quite a following since then. But, you know, there really was this sort of, he really had this desire to really mix the group and make sure we were covering different aspects of patisserie and the history of patisserie.
So you have these three of these chefs are brought in from around the world. As you said, some are household names. Dominique Ancel is one of them. And there's all this planning. But once they get to New York, they just have a couple of days to put together these elaborate plans that they have made. And you really capture the clash between the chefs and the protocols at the Met. Can you describe what some of these issues were like, and how did it feel to be in that moment? Because it seemed tense occasionally.
You know, it was so interesting. We make reference to this in the film. I mean, the Met is just this labyrinth, right? And there's kitchens all over the place, but they're really far apart. And it was almost like being at Versailles. We joked while we were there. It's like we feel like we're shooting at the Palace of Versailles. So it was very complicated from a logistical point of view for the chefs as well as for my film team. You know, when you shoot at the Met, you have a team of people from the Met with you at all times. You're not really able to move from one spot to another with someone with you, you know, protecting the art behind you. And then the chefs had a variety of challenges, you know, everything from, you know, electrical problems to just ingredients that are different in the U.S. than back where they were from. So, you know, some of the recipes wouldn't quite work the way they thought they would because they were using a different type of cream, for example. And they were definitely under the gun. You know, some of our chefs in New York were really preparing their creations on site at their own bakeries, like Dominique and Gaia. But yeah, it was a logistical and kind of creative challenge, I think, for those chefs to pull it off. It was remarkable that they did it.
My guest is Laura Gabbert. She is the director of Ottolenghi and the Cakes of Versailles, which will be on theaters and on demand Friday. So it's interesting because these chefs, we see that these pastry chefs are really artists, and that's the way they view themselves. And it's particularly Janice Wong from Singapore. Mm-hmm. She once worked in finance, but she's changed her life, and she talks a lot about her use of gum paste and sugar to create abstract art. What did you want to explore about the idea of pastry chefs as artists?
I mean, I think that, you know, and this really comes from Yotam. I think it really was this, you know, the interesting thing about pastry is that pastry chefs have always been at the forefront of technology. So they're because it is a science, right? It's chemistry, basically. So as they're creating things, they're thinking very technologically, they're thinking very scientifically in a way, but then they're also bringing in the artistry of it. So I think that we really wanted to capture that and then link that back to Versailles. You know, that's really when a lot of patisserie was first introduced. I mean, actually, prior to Versailles, the Italians actually created much of it, and then the French sort of co-opted it. But we really wanted to make those connections and sort of, you know, just follow the evolution of, like, what does it mean to make a cake? Like, you know, Deborah Crone points out that it used to be that a cake wasn't even sweet. You know, it was like a pastry was not sweet. It actually was used to preserve food. So, you know, I think the film is kind of fun that way because you dip into little history lessons about Versailles and the time of Louis XVI. And then, you know, kind of come back to present day and sort of marvel at, you know, these incredible creations that the chefs make.
Well, let's listen to a clip of Deborah Crone, the food historian and Bard professor, giving a bit of context to the history and the food of Versailles. This is from Ottolenghi and the Cakes of Versailles.
Versailles was an open court. People from Paris, sort of regular citizens, were allowed to come to Versailles and watch all kinds of court events
taking place. Find that so bewildering, because we live in the world with so much separation.
Well, security.
And security, yeah.
There was no security.
Even the king himself was an object of the gaze from the outside,
yeah.
Right?
The palace was open and people were milling around and watching the king and the queen walk from mass. They'd know that they could catch a glimpse of her if they stood at a certain place. They were always on display. And privacy was also really different. The idea that there are certain things that you do in private didn't really exist, especially for the king. Almost everything happened within view of somebody else. And that's one of the reasons we have such great records. This is where the king would be eating, not a big banquet, not a big feast. Food as ceremony, and the importance, the symbolism of it, and the luxury, the excess, and that's really what all the people who were covering this, writing about it for the sort of equivalent of newspapers, it was about spreading the richness of the French court
and the king.
And about power.
So I'm curious, did it ever come up that, you know, we're talking about Versailles and power and excess, that this event is happening at the Met and it's this incredible explosion of food and only certain people get to attend this? I mean, that whole idea that the excess of this event about a place, it's excessive.
Oh, yeah. For sure. I mean, we really do try to, without, you know, beating you over the head with it, draw those parallels, like the similarities between, you know, France at the time of Louis XVI and today. It really was a time of excess and disparity in wealth and those kinds of things. And a lot of it was sort of demonstrated through culture and through art and through food. And I think, you know, Yotam Wisely points out in the film that there really is a similarity to today. And we don't have an open court, of course, like Versailles, but we have social media and we're kind of always privy to, you know, what people are doing and what they're eating and what they're wearing and where they're traveling. And, you know, it does can invoke envy and kind of a sort of exclusivity, feeling of exclusivity, I think. So, yeah, we sort of gently try to point those parallels out in the film. They're sort of obvious when you sort of, you know, see, you know, Yotam at Versailles, and then you see him at the Met at this event, you know, it's such a sort of spectacle, really. And one of the things that we really wanted to try to do was also just see the sort of ephemeral nature of that, too. And so that you really see the sort of empty dishes and the sort of half-eaten cakes and pastries at the end, mm-hmm. and kind of the waste of it as well.
Before I let you go, I read in Vulture that you're also working on a food-related project examining the impact of COVID, not just on restaurants, but on suppliers like farmers, fishermen, dairy farmers. Where are you in that project?
Ruth Reichel, you know, the former editor of Gourmet Magazine and former New York Times restaurant critic, and I started collaborating on this film back in late March. And we basically had Ruth take to Zoom and kind of interview people across the food landscape, and then slowly began going out into the field and capturing our own footage, you know, as well to sort of interweave with the Zoom footage. So we've been shooting for, you know, five or six months, and we were editing and we are just in the thick of production right now. It's been a really interesting project.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about it when you finish it.
I'd love to.
My guest has been Laura Gabbert. Her documentary is called Ottolenghi and the Cakes of Versailles. Laura, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.